Radio Prague News.
President Václav Klaus has opened the Czech Olympic House in London. Justice Minister Pavel Blažek will decide on the appointment of a new Prague state prosecutor next week, and the Prague Zoo lost one of its young gorillas in a tragic accident on Friday morning. President Václav Klaus has opened the Czech House in London's Islington neighborhood, which will serve as the country's public hub for the Olympic Games. The large hall has a space for 5,000 people and will be a meeting place for athletes and fans, sponsors and journalists. Concerts will also be held there, as will ceremonies for victorious Czech athletes. Czech television has an open studio in the house, from which it will be broadcasting throughout the Olympic Games. A mechanical statue of a double-decker bus doing push-ups, the work of Czech artist David Černý, has reportedly drawn large numbers of passersby into the building. Prime Minister Petr Nečas says he will not dismiss Transport Minister Pavel Dobeš, provided the new vehicle registration system continues to function properly over the coming days. The system was seemingly in working order on Friday morning, though many registration offices were closed for the day and its maximum efficiency could not be put to the test. The Prime Minister gave Mr. Dobeš an ultimatum this week as public discontent over the persistent malfunctions escalated, giving him until Friday to get the system in good working order or else resign. Left-wing parties would not be able to form a parliamentary majority if elections were held today, according to a new poll. The survey, conducted by the agency Factum in Venio, suggests that the senior coalition party, the Civic Democrats, have gained in popularity in July, decreasing the lead of the opposition Social Democrats. The Communist Party lost two hypothetical seats, leaving them in third place. The left-wing parties in such a situation would have exactly 100 seats in the 200-seat lower house. Six parties would cross the 5% election threshold, including Topo 9, the Christian Democrats, and the Miloš Zeman Party. Justice Minister Pavel Blažek will decide on the appointment of a new Prague state prosecutor next week, a ministry spokesman told the press after a meeting between the minister and the Supreme State Prosecutor Pavel Zeman on Friday. Mr. Blažek has hesitated on making an appointment to the position since he took office 3 weeks ago, despite the strong public and media interest in anti-corruption prosecutor Lenka Bradáčová, who the Supreme State Prosecutor recommended for the post. Speculation is rife that the former Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil was sacked because of his intent to appoint Ms. Bradáčová. Mr. Blažek has conceded that she is the best qualified candidate for the post, but says he fears the forthright Bradáčová would have a divisive effect on the institution. The Prague Zoo lost one of its young gorillas in a tragic accident on Friday morning. A 5-year-old gorilla named Tatu was killed when a rope went untangled and got caught around its neck. One of the keepers found the animal suspended from the rope and in the arms of one of the females. The rest of the band was dispersed with water so that veterinarians could assist the gorilla, but CPR proved ineffective. The zoo's director, Miroslav Bobek, said that Tatu's death was the institution's worst tragedy since the 2002 floods. Now turning briefly to the weather, the coming days are expected to be mostly sunny with occasional showers and storms, and daytime highs reaching 32 degrees Celsius. My name is Christian Falvey. That's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, with all eyes on London, we'll go to Islington Borough, where President Klaus is opening the Czech Olympic House. This being Friday, we'll bring you a summary of the business news, and later on in the arts, you can hear about an exhibition marking 10 years since the 2002 floods that devastated Prague and other parts of the Czech Republic. And we'll end the show with a Czech lesson, as usual, so do please stay tuned. And first, we go to London, where Czech President Václav Klaus and the mayor of the London Borough of Islington have just opened the Czech Olympic House, the hub of all things Czech during the 2012 London Olympics. More expensive than the Czech House in Beijing 4 years ago, it is the venue of all kinds of attractions and events for the guests of the Czech Olympic Committee, Czech sports fans and visitors. Jan Richter is there and joins me now over the phone. Hello, Jan. So the opening now appears to be underway as we speak. Can you tell us what is going on at the Czech House in London?
The Czech Olympic House and the London Borough of Islington is just being officially opened. Now you might hear in the background the mayor of the borough speaking and addressing the audiences. Czech President Václav Klaus arrived late, unfortunately, because of a traffic jam. So he will momentarily get on the stage and welcome everyone. So this is the official opening in progress right now. And it will be followed, of course, by a whole range of events, including concerts by Czech bands, Monkey Business, Toxic and others. There's exhibitions. And the program will actually conclude with a live broadcast of the opening ceremony of the Olympic Games.
Right, and can you tell us who is there? Plenty of VIPs, I assume.
Well, you have the Czech President, Václav Klaus, the Czech Ambassador to the UK, Michal Žantovský, then the Mayor of Islington, Mr. Chandry, of course, the head of the Czech National Olympic Committee, Mr. Jirásek, some sportsmen. I saw the, and actually spoke briefly to the flag bearer of the Czech Olympic team, Petr Koukal, and of course, you know, many other dignitaries as representatives of companies, Chess and Vítkovice. So it's quite a setup.
So I understand this is the place where Czech fans can meet sports people in the course of the Olympics.
It certainly is. There's actually a board of fame, which is empty now, but the Olympic Committee hopes that as Czech athletes will enter the Games and possibly win medals, they will come here to celebrate with fans. So, the Czech athletes definitely will be coming here throughout the Games.
And are people interested in coming and seeing what's happening there now?
It's quite packed, I have to say. I think that the Czech House got a quiet reputation with the, the statue, the London Booster by David Černý, which is really ingenious. And it's drawing large crowds. I'd say it's about 500, 600 people now attending the opening. About half Czech, according to my estimate. I spoke to some of them, some of the Londoners who came here, either work in the area or live in the area. I'm very curious. So I think definitely that among the competition of all the other nations, the sort of houses or hubs for the Olympics, the Czech House is doing pretty well.
Right, Jan Richter there reporting from London. Thank you very much, Jan. And Radio Prague will naturally be following the sports events and will keep you informed on how Czech athletes are doing. Now, this being Friday, I'm sure some of our listeners are waiting for a summary of the week's business news, for which I'm joined by Dominic Yoon.
Confidence in the Czech economy took another month-on-month hit in June, falling by 1.6%, according to new data from the Czech Statistics Office. Confidence in the retail and construction sectors saw a slight uptick, while the service sector and manufacturing saw a decline. According to analyst Michal Kozub, cited by ČTK, confidence in the manufacturing sector is now at its lowest level since the beginning of 2010. Meanwhile, Czech consumer confidence rose slightly in July, up to -28.3 from -29.3 the previous month. Consumer demand remained stagnant, with expectations for the ensuing 3 months also decreasing. Recent reports also suggest that belt tightening is impacting sectors such as the soft drinks industry, with sales of non-alcoholic beverages falling by 10% since 2004.
The Škoda automobile company sold around 408,000 car units in the first half of 2012, according to new data released by the company. The figure represents a 12.6% improvement on the same period the previous year. Sales increased by 6.6%, reaching 5.7 billion euros, with profits up by 449 million euros and sales up by 12.4%. The popularity of models such as the Roomster, Yeti and Octavia, as well as the Rapid, which is sold in India, are said to be behind the strong sales.
The Czech government is to increase the country's emergency petroleum reserves by 10 days. This will mean that the Czech Republic will be able to last for 100 rather than 90 days on these reserves in the case of a disruption of regular oil supplies. The price tag for the extension is between 4.4 and 4.7 billion crowns over the space of 2 years. The move was undertaken in relation to the implementation of a new method of calculating the reserve supply required by the EU. This meant that under the new count, the Czech Republic would have been below the legally required threshold of 90 days. The new EU rules will also mean improvements in the way that the reserves are stored and distributed.
The Czech petrochemical company Unipetrol, which is a subsidiary of the Polish company PKN Orlen, experienced losses of 959 million crowns in the first half of 2012, according to newly released data. The figure represents a dramatic reversal from the same period the previous year, when the company experienced profits of 463 million crowns. In the second quarter of 2012 alone, the company's losses reached 598 million crowns, despite an increase in revenues of 7.2% year-on-year. Unipetrol, which focuses on the processing and distribution of petroleum and petroleum products, said the disappointing results were caused by inventory re-evaluation losses, which means that its fuel stocks were made less valuable by falling oil prices, as well as by a weak external macroeconomic environment. Majority owner PKN Orlen also reported second quarter losses of around 1.6 million euros.
A new survey from the CVVM polling agency has revealed what respondents believed to be the least prestigious jobs in the Czech Republic. The final three places in the poll were occupied by cleaners, ministers, and members of the country's parliament. Other professions with a particularly low ranking were secretaries, priests, and salespersons. The most prestigious profession, according to the poll, was that of doctor, followed by scientists, teachers, and nurses. The survey also revealed that 3/5 of respondents were satisfied with their jobs, and that only 7% were significantly dissatisfied. Additionally, 10% were considering trying to find a better job.
The Ministry of Finance may decide to scrap plans to tax winnings from the betting business in the light of the results of an analysis it commissioned to evaluate the viability of taxing as income prizes won by those betting on sports and other activities. The study found that the logistics of establishing such a system would be highly impractical. Although such winnings are taxed in other countries, for example the United States, the ministry concluded that forcing the identification of people in a largely anonymous system would place an unfair burden of establishing the identities of players on ticket sellers in stores. Another proposal to require winnings to be declared on tax returns was also deemed impractical. Instead, the study recommends the continuation of the current system in which lottery companies themselves pay taxes on their profits. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it's now time for a fresh edition of The Arts with Jan Wellinger. Today he reports on an exhibition documenting a harrowing and dramatic experience for many people in this country.
In this week's Arts, my guest is Czech Photo's Daniela Mrázková, the curator of an exhibition marking 10 years since the 2002 floods that devastated Prague and other parts of the Czech Republic. Based on an earlier show of works by some of the country's best photographers, the exhibition also offers a brand new book. Daniela Mrázková came into the studio to talk about both, as well as where she was in the dramatic days of August 2002, when the country was hit by 500-year floods.
I remember it quite well because it was a disaster for everybody. But at that time, I was in my village house in South Bohemia, in Rosenberg, on Vltava River. And we were completely closed there because we couldn't go away. So for several days, for 3 days, we were closed there. And then I could go to Prague.
When you got to Prague, what were the first things that you saw, what was happening in the city?
It was something incredible. I couldn't believe my eyes because everything, all places which I knew quite well, were completely different. And I had an impression that I am dreaming. In the front of my eyes, I saw some very unique surrealistic pictures.
When I think about it, one of the things that I remember was, well, of course, the sound of the different emergency systems, the sirens, but also a very unusual quiet. All of a sudden, there were parts of the city that were completely quiet.
Yes, yes, completely. It's not possible to forget. For those people who went through that, but for young people, I think it's very important to show them the pictures, the photographs, because I think that photography is first of all memory. And that's why we organized the exhibition and published the book.
I want to ask you about the cover image or the title image for the show and for the cover of the book. It shows Charles Bridge standing alone against a very gray Vltava River, but there seems to be this heaviness in the water, this mass. Was it difficult to choose this particular shot?
Oh, no, no. It was not difficult, because it was quite clear for me from the beginning that it must be this picture, which will be on the cover of the book and on the poster for the exhibition, because it's a symbolic picture. It's a picture by photographer Jiří Všetečka, who takes pictures of Prague for many years. And I think that everything play in this picture. So the high water, the crosses on the Charles Bridge and everything, so the grayness of the picture, it's a great picture.
Who are some of the photographers? Because obviously photographers during those days, like journalists, many foreign journalists who were here, suddenly interested in what was going on in this country, they were busy while other people were running and gathering their stuff. They were capturing the situation, weren't they?
I tell you, so everybody took pictures at that time, especially professional photographers from media. And not only photographers from media, but also those who normally take pictures of landscapes or nudes. So it means that all really prestigious photographers, all of them took pictures. And it was not difficult to choose the good pictures for the exhibition. And we organized the exhibition very, very shortly after the event, because we were asked by Prague Town Hall to organize the big exhibition at Old Town Square, Old Town Hall. And at that time, we had something like 500 pictures in the exhibition. And it was very popular among the people. The exhibition traveled even to New York to introduce the disaster for foreign politicians.
It was shown at the UN building?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, in the UN building, yeah.
If we talk about the photographers, do they have individual styles, their individual approaches? Say you're someone who's been doing landscapes throughout their career, is their trademark still visible?
Definitely, yes. Because photographers who take, for instance, landscapes, of course, so you can see in the exhibition as well as in the book that they have a little bit different approach than those who are reporters or documentary photographers. And it is interesting in the exhibition that there are different pictures with different picture quality.
Some, however, are more rooted in the kind of reportage documentary tradition, though.
Yeah.
And what are some images that, for you in particular, besides the cover image, stand out?
I think, yes, there are two pictures which I love very much. There are pictures by Jan Zatorsky, and one of them is the interior of the restaurant on Vltava River. And you can see on the picture only water going in the space of the restaurant. It's something horrible. And the second of them is the big crane on Charles Bridge. And the whole picture has very, very special light. And the historical buildings around, it's a great picture.
I read that the publishing of this book, Praha pod vodou, Prague Underwater, that in itself was no easy task. Was it supposed to be published earlier? Why did it just get published now?
All 10 years, I dreamt about publishing the book because a lot of books were devoted to Prague. But no one had a chance to show Prague quite differently. And this was the first chance. I felt that now or never. So I decided to publish the book. And of course it was a matter of money. Without understanding of all photographers, of course we hadn't possibility to pay them money, to pay them honorariums, not to be our friends from Nikon, it couldn't be possible to do that.
The photographers were compensated by Nikon, or they accepted it gratis?
No, gratis, mm-hmm. Gratis, everything gratis. So Nikon paid only for producing of the book. Even graphic artists worked without money, and all of us. But I think the book was it.
In a way, you could also argue that it's a blessing that it took so long to get published, because it is indeed for the anniversary, and that is a good time for reflection and maybe reframing what happened. People can see it with a bit more distance, right?
You are quite right, yes.
We've heard many times about the safety measures that have been put into place, the flood barriers and that kind of thing. Do you, when you're driving along the banks, ever still think about the power of the river?
Yeah, since that time, of course, definitely.
Okay, I want to thank you very much.
Thank you too.
That edition of The Arts was by Jan Wellinger. And now in the time left to us, we're offering you another part in Radio Prague's popular language series, The ABCs of Czech.
Welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's Czech language course, which looks at the use of numbers in everyday speech. My name is Linda Maštalíš, and I'm joined by
Jan Wellinger,
who will help me with the Czech pronunciation. So far, this series has explored Czech numbers from 1 to 12 and explained the idioms and phrases in Czech which use these numbers. Between 12 and 20, we find that there are significantly fewer fixed expressions using numbers, possibly with the exception of 13.
13.
In this country, the number 13 is considered to be an unlucky number, and Friday the 13th,
pátek 13.
is regarded by some people as an exceptionally unlucky day. Also, there is a Czech expression,
13. komnata,
the 13th chamber. Often appearing in fairy tales, it is a chamber which is not supposed to be opened because that's where the darkest secrets are kept. In common speech, it stands for everything dark and secret, which we don't want to reveal, a bit like the proverbial skeleton in the cupboard. The number 14,
14,
is most often used in Czech in the expression
14 dní,
meaning 2 weeks or a fortnight. Czechs will much more often say
14 dní
than
2 týdny,
2 weeks. Czechs who are learning English can be very easily spotted because they will use the words 14 days in English too. 15,
15,
is the age of consent in the Czech Republic and also the age of criminal responsibility. 16,
16,
used to be the legal age to buy cigarettes, but a few years ago it was raised to 18. 17 or
17
can still be heard very often as part of the phrase November 17th.
17 listopad.
Which was the day when the Velvet Revolution started in 1989, when the police brutally cracked down on a peaceful student demonstration in Prague. At 18 years of age,
v 18 letech,
one can get a driver's license, drink alcohol legally, go to the polls, get married without parental consent, and so on. 19 is
19.
There are no remarkable phrases using that word on its own, but it's used to denote years in the 20th century. We already mentioned the year 1989. The more common way to say that in Czech is
1989.
That is 1989. However, when counting objects, the figure would read
1989.
And that's it for today. We'll be back next time with more Czech numbers. Till then, naschledanou.
My thanks to Linda, and I'm afraid that Czech lesson has brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and have a good weekend.